Strange Tales.
RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. This is Strange Tales. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Sunday. Our story comes from the Sears Radio Theater this week, a CBS series that originally ran from February to August of 1979, airing 130 episodes. Our story today is from June 6th, 1979. It's titled, A Whisper in My Ear.
From the Sears Radio Theater. Tonight, a program of mystery with Vincent Price as your host. Here's a preview.
The body of the time traveler remains here in the chamber. It's his mental energy, his mind, that is sent off in another time period.
We'll be able to pass through the force field to observe the flow of time without changing past history.
The Sears Radio Theater will begin after this message from your local station.
This is Vincent Price. You're in the plush New York office of one of the most prominent psychiatrists in the country.
Yes?
Your 2 o'clock appointment is here, Doctor.
Oh, fine. Send him in, please.
The doctor's next patient is a renowned physicist whose career appears to be a model of perseverance and brilliant inspiration. In actuality, his success is a result of fear, jealousy, and an uncanny ability to manipulate certain members of the scientific community.
Come in, Mr. Baxter, and have a seat.
Look, let's get one thing straight before we start. I'm not crazy, do you understand? I do not need psychiatric treatment. That's not why I came here.
Then why are you here?
Well, certain people are convinced I'm quite insane. I'm determined to prove them wrong.
Now, why do they think you're insane?
Because they don't hear the voices.
I see. You hear voices.
Not voices, Doctor. A particular voice belonging to a particularly sadistic
person speaking to you.
All the time. It's a constant, tormenting monologue that grates on my nerves like chalk on a blackboard, and I can't stand it anymore.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Sears Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, A Whisper in My Ear by Steve Sharon. Our stars, Vic Perrin, Antoinette Bauer, and Len Berman. The Sears Radio Theater is brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops for value.
A renowned physicist has come to a psychiatrist hoping for assurances that the condition he suffers from is very real and that he has not gone stark, raving mad.
About this voice, Mr. Baxter. You said it belongs to a particular person.
Yes, yes, but... Well, first you must promise that what I'm about to tell you will not be repeated, that you will not violate the confidentiality of your profession.
You have my word on that, Mr. Baxter. Oh,
good. You ask me whose voice it is I hear so incessantly. Very well. You'll have the story from the beginning. And at the beginning is Kate. Maybe if you're very, very lucky, you might meet a woman like Kate sometime. A woman so incredibly attractive that... Well, let's just say that I fell in love with her the moment we first met. It was at a party at the dean's house.
Excuse me, have you seen Dean Philby?
He was here a moment ago. Perhaps I can be of help. I'm Miles Baxter.
How do you do? I'm Kate Farrell. You know, your name seems familiar. Have we met before?
I don't think so. I'm sure I would have remembered someone as lovely as you.
Why, thank you.
You see, I've only just recently joined the faculty here at the university.
Oh.
Are you a member of the faculty?
Oh, no. My husband does some research on the campus.
Oh, is he here now?
Oh, Peter's working late on a proposal for a grant he needs to continue his experiments. He's a physicist.
Peter Farrell?
That's right. Do you know him?
No. We've never met, but I look forward to meeting him. What project is he working on?
Oh, I'm sorry, but Peter doesn't like me to discuss his work.
Well, then perhaps we can find something else to talk about. As I told you, I'm new here, and I only know a few of these people.
Oh, that I can help you with. Come, I'll introduce you to some of my friends. You know Dean Philby, of course.
Of course.
Is that you?
Yes, dear. I'm sorry, Peter. I didn't mean to wake you.
It's all right. I'm sorry I couldn't join you at the party. I was just too exhausted. How'd it go?
All right. You know what the dean's parties are like. Oh, I did meet someone new, though. His name is Miles Baxter.
The Miles Baxter?
Is he someone special?
Darling, Miles Baxter won the Lockhart Award for physics 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he hasn't done much lately, but still he's a brilliant physicist. Now I wish I'd gone to the party. Tell me, what's he like?
Oh, he's handsome, cultured, and very charming.
I hear he's quite a ladies' man. He didn't make a pass at you, did he?
I'm not going to say whether he did or not. A little jealousy might be good for you.
I'm not jealous. As a matter of fact, I can hardly wait to meet him. Did he happen to say what he's working on?
Not a word.
I'll bet it's big. Baxter's a genius at finding research funds. Why, he came up with several $1 million in grants from the Global Development Program, and the rest of us didn't even know the money was there.
I'm getting sleepy, Peter. Why don't we talk about it in the morning?
I'm sorry. Good night, darling.
Good night.
If I'd only gone to that party.
Come in.
Peter Farrell?
Yes?
I'm Miles Baxter.
Please forgive me. Do come in. Please sit down.
Thank you.
This is a great honor. I've been very anxious to meet you.
And I you, Mr. Farrell. Did your wife mention that we crossed paths at the dean's party?
Yes, she did.
Kate's a very beautiful woman, and you are a very lucky man.
Thank you.
But my visit to your office is not just a social call. As a matter of fact, I took the liberty of making some inquiries about you before I came here.
Oh.
I must say, I was impressed. You seem to be very highly regarded. But surely you must realize that our colleagues regard your theories as patently absurd.
I'm aware of their opinions.
Physics is a very competitive science with a lot of cutthroat competition.
Well, you don't have to tell me. It's precisely because I disagree with the accepted principles of our field that I'm having such difficulty getting research grants.
Yet your theories are being circulated.
Only because I've managed to publish some of my papers in the more obscure journals.
I've read them. They're brilliant.
Thank you.
As for our peers, pay no attention. They are simpletons whose imaginations are limited to what they've learned in textbooks.
I couldn't agree more.
As you know, I won the Lockhart Award some time ago.
Yes.
Well, I don't intend to rest on my laurels. As a matter of fact, in the last 5 years, I've been working on a project identical to your own. You can imagine how pleased and excited I was to find someone who could understand my work.
Then you do think the concept is feasible?
Definitely. That's why I came to this university. You see, I have hopes of persuading you to work with me on this project.
I don't know what to say.
Together, we can accomplish what might never be possible if we each go our separate ways. And as for the financing of the research and development, well, certain grants have been made available to me. Naturally, I'd share these with you.
I'm completely overwhelmed. This is such a great honor, Mr. Baxter.
Please call me Miles. Well, what do you say, Peter? Are we going to be partners?
It's all so sudden. I hope you won't take offense if I ask for some time to decide.
You take as long as you like. After all, if the project succeeds, time is the one thing we'll have plenty of.
After some brief deliberation on his part, Peter Farrell has decided to accept an offer to work on a very secretive, very unusual project.
Pete! Hey, Pete!
Oh, sorry, Bill. I didn't see you there. I guess I was daydreaming.
Where have you been? Haven't seen you around lately.
Well, I've been so busy at the lab.
Oh, yeah, I nearly forgot. You're working with Baxter now, aren't you? How's it going?
Excellent. I'm very pleased with the progress we've made.
Really?
You sound surprised. I suppose you consider my theories unreasonable, too.
Well, that's part of it. But to be frank, I just didn't expect you and Baxter to hit it off.
What do you mean?
Well, don't you remember what happened when Baxter was working together with that fellow Nielsen down in Dallas?
No.
Well, it seems Nielsen went to work with Baxter with the understanding that they'd be 50-50 partners, sharing the credit with each other. Well, things didn't quite work out as expected. Miles Baxter went on to win the Lockhart, while Nielsen drifted into relative obscurity.
Now that you mention it, I do vaguely recall hearing something about it. There were some very bitter accusations made.
Yeah, Nielsen claimed Baxter stole his ideas and built his reputation on Nielsen's work.
Oh, I don't believe that, Bill. Miles Baxter's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
He gives this whole project the credibility it needs. As far as I'm concerned, his reputation is impeccable.
I hope you're right, Peter. For your sake, I hope that Miles Baxter is everything he appears to be.
You are, Peter. I've just been running our calculations through the computer, and everything checks out so far. If we can just get over this last hurdle, I think we'll have the answer we're looking for. Don't you agree? Peter?
What? Oh, yes. Whatever you say, Miles.
Well, is something wrong?
No, it's nothing.
Are you sure?
Actually, there is something bothering me, Miles. You see, I heard some talk. Now, I know there's nothing to it, of course, but it concerned the work you did with Nielsen.
So, the rumors have started again. Well, I'm not surprised.
You're not?
Good heavens, no. I've even come to expect such nonsense. And I learned long ago to dismiss it for what it is. It's professional jealousy. But I can certainly understand your concern.
Oh, I wasn't really worried.
No, you had every right to be. Sometimes we scientists tend to think of ourselves as truth-seeking gods who'd never dream of fighting or lobbying or throat-cutting for something as intangible as the Lockhart Award.
Fact is, we're only human. And there are those who can't bear the thought of someone else achieving the success that they had hoped for.
You mean like Nielsen?
Well, suffice it to say that he went his way and I went mine. And I've had to endure his backbiting insinuations ever since. However, Peter, if you feel there's any truth to such...
No, no, of course not, Miles. I just wanted to hear your side of the story. That's all.
Good. And now that we have that settled, we can press forward. Hmm? You might want to take a look at these figures here. There's a slight discrepancy that...
Peter?
Kate? Oh, come on in. Oh.
You're looking as lovely as ever, Mrs. Farrell.
Thank you, Miles. Are you ready to go to lunch, darling?
Kate, I'm sorry, but I completely forgot you were coming. I'm afraid I just came back from lunch.
Oh, Peter. Look, in the last few weeks, we've hardly spent any time together. Now, you promised me that we'd at least have lunch together today.
I know I did, darling. I've been so busy, it just slipped my mind. Please try and understand.
All right. I forgive you. I suppose I should be used to it by now.
I promise I'll make it up to you. As for today, maybe you could take Kate to lunch, Miles.
Well, I'd like that. I'd like that. That is, if it's all right with you, Kate.
Why not?
Yes. At least you'll have lunch with half the team.
Sears Radio Theater will continue after this message from your local station.
More wine, Kate?
Yes, please. Oh, I wish Peter didn't have to work so hard.
I know one thing. If I had a wife as beautiful as you, I'd never get any work done.
That's very sweet of you, Miles. I guess it's my own fault for marrying such a workaholic. But I don't have to tell you about hard work. You must have put in some pretty long hours yourself to win the Lockhart.
Yes, but I have to admit that part of my success is due to my ability to play the game.
The game?
The politics of science. These awards aren't always won in the laboratory.
What do you mean?
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying the importance of being chosen for the most prestigious award in our field. Why, just the possibility of winning the Lockhart Award was enough to keep me going during some very difficult days. You see, it was my one goal in life, and I was determined to reach it no matter what the cost.
Well, a toast, then. To success. May you and Peter both find it with your latest project.
To success. Do you realize this is the first time you and I have been alone since Peter and I began working together?
Is it?
Yes. You know, I meant what I said about your being beautiful. I've thought so ever since I first met you at the Dean's party.
Yes, I remember.
I didn't want to let you get away from me that night. I'm afraid I monopolized you for the whole evening.
I had a very nice time.
Really? I think it would be very easy for me to fall in love with you, Kate.
Oh, please. I wish you wouldn't talk that way.
Well, does it make you uncomfortable?
Yes, it does.
Well, I don't mean to. I just wanted you to know how I feel.
It's not that I'm not flattered, Miles. But I love my husband very much. So please, if you just wouldn't say things like that.
All right. I understand.
How was lunch?
Oh, it was...
It was interesting.
I've got some good news, Miles. I think I found the answer to the problem that's had us stymied.
Are you sure?
Almost. I'm double-checking the figures in the computer right now.
Peter, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, darling.
Well, if the calculations are correct, it means we'd better start assembling the equipment we'll need.
How long will it take to build?
I'd estimate about a month.
And then we'll be ready. ready to run the first tests on the time machine.
I expected a time machine to have a lot of chrome and flashing lights. This looks like some kind of a safe with a glass window in the door. How does it work?
Well, the mathematics of it are extremely complex, of course, but as we know from Einstein's theory of relativity, time is...
I'm ready to go.
See, here, the block of steel we're using for the test is inside the chamber there. All right, Miles, you can lay in the coordinates now.
Where are you sending it?
Time is like a constantly flowing river, a current moving into the future. For now, we go where the chamber and the current of time take us.
Keep your eye on the viewing slot, Kate.
The block. It's shimmering. Fading away. It's gone.
So far, so good. Now let's try and bring it back, shall we?
I don't see anything.
It should be there.
The steel block. It's melted.
Well, we failed.
I don't understand. It should have worked.
We'll just have to run more tests, find out what's wrong.
That blasted machine.
What's the matter, Peter?
It's just so... It's so frustrating.
Oh, you need some rest, that's all.
Maybe you're right. It's just that we've run test after test, rechecked all the calculations, inspected the construction of the time chamber, and we're still no closer to making it work.
Not unless we can find a way to go back in time without going through that force field.
Well, I'm not going to try and find the answer tonight.
Why don't we call it a day?
What? No, you give me an idea. I think I'll stay here a while longer.
Suit yourself. What are you doing here?
Miles, I've got to talk to you. Can I come in?
Well, of course you may. This is a pleasant surprise.
I've just been to the lab. I tried to get Peter to come home with me, but he wouldn't leave his work. Do you realize that he's becoming obsessed with that damn time machine? Miles, you've got to do something.
I've tried, but he insists on keeping ridiculously long hours. I'm afraid Peter prefers work over anything else.
Including his wife.
Well, I don't know about that. I do know that if it were me, I'd rather be with you than anyone in the world.
I guess I'll have to face up to the fact that Peter's work comes first.
Kate, you remember when I said it would be easy for me to fall in love with you?
Yes.
I do love you. Very much.
Miles, please.
All I want is a chance to prove I can be better for you than Peter ever was.
Miles, look, don't you understand? I love Peter. No matter what, I'll always love him. I'm sorry, but that is the way it is.
All right, Kate. But you can't blame me for trying. So, you've spent the whole night here in the lab.
Not all of it. I went out to your place last night, in fact. I had something very important to show you.
You did?
Tell me, Miles, what was my wife doing coming out of your apartment?
Well, she wanted to talk. Kate's been very worried about you lately. She asked me to make you stop working so hard.
All you did was talk?
Of course. Believe me, it's not what you think, Peter. You're very lucky to have a wife like Kate. She's very loyal.
Yes, yes, she is. I have been treating her rather badly lately. I'll have to make it up to her somehow.
But you haven't said why you came to see me last night.
Miles, I think I've found a way to make the time machine work. But before I tell you my idea, I want you to know that I've been going over all our research notes to date, and I've discovered something very interesting.
And what's that?
Just that a great deal of what's been done so far is a result of my work. In fact, about 80% of the basic ideas we've used are mine.
Oh, I don't believe that.
It's true. Your contribution to this project has been rather minor. Under the circumstances, you can hardly expect me to share credit for the time machine with you.
This is absurd. Do you realize you're talking to a Lockhart Award winner?
Maybe they should have given the award to Nielsen. But maybe you've been leading me down the garden path just like you did him, and I've been too blind to see it.
Well, now, you can't seriously think that I'd try to cheat Nielsen or you out of sharing
him. You said it yourself, Miles. Ours is a cutthroat field.
Now, Peter, listen to me. There may be some truth to what you say. After all, you have done a tremendous amount of work on this project. I never dreamed how much, but if what you say is correct, well, naturally, I'm only too willing to give you the lion's share of the credit. Would that satisfy you?
Yes, Miles. I think that's more what I had in mind.
I can see that you've enlarged the chamber, but what's the chair for?
Well, that's where the time traveler sits.
You're not planning to put a human being in there after what happened to that block of steel?
There's no danger. We've modified the time machine using what we know about ESP, telekinesis, and telepathy, so that it is now capable of mental transportation.
What do you mean?
The body of the time traveler remains here in the chamber. It's his mental energy, his mind, that is sent off in another time period.
We'll be able to pass through the force field to observe the flow of time without changing past history.
All right, I've laid in the necessary coordinates.
Just remember to keep the power level constant at all times.
Right.
Kate, help me get strapped in.
Peter, not you. Oh, can't someone else test it first?
Don't worry. The controls are set to return me automatically in 5 minutes.
But if something should happen...
Give me a kiss for luck.
Good luck, my darling.
See you in 5 minutes.
Here goes. Now we wait.
I wish I knew what was happening to him. What's wrong?
I don't know. The power level's fluctuating. I've lost all power.
Peter!
We've got to get him out of there. Oh. I can see him inside. His eyes are open. Oh. He's still conscious.
Darling, are you all right?
He doesn't look injured.
Why doesn't he move?
Peter? Peter!
Miles, why doesn't he answer? Why doesn't he respond?
Vincent Price again, and here's the concluding act of A Whisper in My Ear.
How is he, Dr. Edwards?
The same, I'm afraid.
Is he in any danger?
Now, physically, your husband is fine, Mrs. Farrell. It's his mental health that has me worried. He doesn't respond to any stimuli whatsoever. It's almost as if he were in a deep coma.
Well, there must be something you can do for him, Doctor.
Well, considering his condition, the only course of action I can recommend, and I don't mean to sound cold or heartless, Mr. Farrell, is that you have your husband institutionalized.
Oh, dear God.
Well, at least that way he'll be cared for by someone trained to deal with his condition. Perhaps he may even come out of it, given time and proper treatment.
But I can't just send away.
Well, you don't have to make a decision right now. I'll be checking in on your husband for the next few days.
Can we go in and see him?
Oh, of course. You go ahead. I can find my way out.
Thank you, Doctor. Look at him, Miles. He just sits there. Motionless, just staring at us like a zombie.
Oh, it'll be all right, Kate. I'll see that he gets the finest care, anything he needs. And the institution won't be as bad as you think.
No. No, I just won't have him put away.
Kate, you've got to face facts. If the time machine had worked as it was supposed to, then the mental energy that was Peter's mind is trapped in another time period. With the link broken, well, an institution is the best place for him now.
I just can't do it.
Let me take care of you, Kate. You know how I feel about you.
No, Miles. I've got to think of Peter. He's still my husband. He needs me. He'll always need me.
If that's the way you want it, Kate.
I do. My poor darling Peter.
She'll change her mind when she finds out.
Miles. Miles.
Who's there? Who's there? I need another drink.
It's me, Miles.
Peter?
That's right.
Peter? Where are you?
Right here. All around you.
What? Why can't I see you?
The time machine, remember? What you hear are my thoughts reaching out to you, spanning the years between us, touching your mind.
You are in another time period?
Yes. The time machine works just as we knew it would.
Kate, come in here, quick.
What is it?
Peter, he's here.
What are you talking about? He's in the bedroom.
No, 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 not in his body, his mind.
What?
The time machine works. I heard his thoughts speaking to me just now.
I don't see anything.
Of course not. He's not here physically. Peter, speak to us.
Miles, this is morbid.
He's here, I tell you. I know he is.
You've had too much to drink.
But I heard him.
Look, the shock and strain of what's happened has made you imagine.
His mind is in this room. I did not imagine it.
All right, Miles. Whatever you say.
Oh, you don't believe me, do you?
I want to, Miles. I really do.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I did have too much to drink.
I'm sure that's all it was.
It seemed so real.
Why don't you lie down here on the couch and take a nap? You'll feel much better.
Yeah. Yeah, sleep it off.
Get a good rest and I'll wake you later.
You. You were here all the time.
Yes.
Why didn't you speak to Kate?
It's you I want, Miles.
Me? What for?
You think I don't know how you took advantage of me?
Peter, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought we had this all settled.
So did I. But you never stop scheming, do you, Miles? You manipulated me, just like you did Nielsen. You let me think I'd won, and all the time you were planning to steal my ideas, my time machine. You even tried to steal my wife.
No, no.
You saw your plan wasn't going to work, so you shut off the power when I was in the chamber, tried to trap me in another time.
You're wrong, Peter. I never...
Don't lie to me. I can see it in your mind. Your silence condemns you. But you failed, haven't you? I'm still here. And soon, I'll be back in my own body.
You'll be back?
That's right, Miles. And you're going to help me. You're going to operate the chamber and bring me back.
No, no, no!
Miles, who are you talking to?
Oh, I've got to get to the lab.
Miles, come back!
Destroyed the chamber. He's trapped now. He can't ever come back.
What are you talking about? Who's trapped?
Peter. He's isolated in time for the rest of eternity.
Miles, listen to me. You're having some kind of a breakdown.
No, Kate, you don't understand.
I'm going to take you to a doctor.
I don't need a doctor. No.
Did you think you could
get
me so easily?
Kate, it's him. Listen. Can't you hear him laughing?
I don't hear anything.
Only you can hear me, Miles. Only you.
It's all in your imagination.
You think you've won, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I've won.
Miles, I want you to come with me.
You'll never escape me. My mind exists. My thoughts live on. They live on in you, Miles.
No.
You're going to listen to my thoughts for the rest of your life.
You can't do this to me.
Night and day, I'll be your conscience, your persecutor, your own private hell.
No. Leave me alone.
You will never be alone, Miles. I'll always be with you. Do you think you'll like that? Do you think you'll like being haunted?
Leave me alone. Please. I can't stand it anymore.
No, don't worry, Mr. Baxter. Everything's going to be all right.
Here is the injection you asked for, Doctor.
Thank you, nurse. Now, I'm going to give you a sedative. Something to make you sleep. There. And that should keep your friend quiet.
No. He's always there.
Miles.
Can't you hear his voice? Soft.
Miles.
Like a whisper in my ear.
The sedative is taking effect. He's falling asleep.
Yes. Now, arrange to have him transported to the state hospital. I'm going to commit him for observation.
Yes, doctor.
National
Sporting Goods Week, featuring super values like the Sears Best Hillary Family Size Tent. Now $50 off, only $199.99. This is the tent tested and approved by the first man to conquer Mount Everest, Sir Edmund Hillary. It's 10 by 14 feet, sleeps 8 adults comfortably, and most people can stand up anywhere inside. You save $50 on Sears Best Hillary Tent, only $199.99 through June 16th. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Sears wants to break the ice when it comes to buying a Kenmore refrigerator, so we're taking $50 to $100 off three models through June 30th. You save $100 on the 19-cubic-foot side-by-side and $70 on the 17-cubic-foot top freezer refrigerator. Both have automatic ice makers and Sears' exclusive humidrawer. Save $50 on a Kenmore 17-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer without ice maker. All are frostless. Kenmore. Solid as Sears. Dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Nothing but the best for my dad.
Like Sears Best Double Knit Slacks on sale for Father's Day. Regular cut slacks are just $13.99. That's $4 off. Choose popular solids and refined patterns in wrinkle-resistant double knit Fortrell polyester. Top off his day with Sears Best Short Sleeve Knit Sport Shirts. Also at $4 off. Now just $9.99.
It's Sears Best for the best guy I know, Dad.
Sale ends June 16th. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
All items available at most larger Sears retail stores.
The Sears Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company, where our policy is satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Sears, where America shops for value. A Whisper in My Ear was written by Steve Sharon, produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Vincent Price. Our stars were Vic Perrin, Antoinette Bauer, and Len Berman. Featured in the cast were Howard Culver and Jack Carroll.
That's our strange tale for this week. If you'd like to hear more from the Sears Radio Theater, give the website a visit. There's more from that series there, alongside thousands of others. You'll also find the other Relic Radio podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and as always, if you'd like to donate to the cause and help keep the podcasts coming every week, you can do that there too. RelicRadio.com is where it's all found. Thanks for joining me this Sunday. I'll be back next Sunday with a story from Theater 5 and a brand new episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.